Hello, and welcome to Conversations Across the Pond with Angel and Nicola. I'm Nicola, and we're just two friends from different continents who connected online and as kindred spirits, even though we agree to disagree on some topics. Join us for no holds barred conversations as we demonstrate that you don't have to agree on everything, but can still be friends.
Welcome back to Conversations Across the Pond with Angel and Nicola. I am Angel.
And I'm Nicola. Hello.
And we are excited, as always. And as always, we've been talking for just a few minutes before we start recording. And oh boy, this one could be interesting because I'm super wound up about it. So how can I, let's see if I can say this in a way that's concise. So here in the US, there is a website called Zillow. I will remember to put a link in the show notes, where you can look at like houses, townhouses, villas, apartments, all different kinds of homes across the US and get an idea for, you know, cost and what's available and the size and the amenities and all that fun stuff. It's super, super fun. I think it's like eye candy. It's like walking into a candy store as a kid for me, because it's like all the pretties. So I use it like Pinterest, and I like just go on to Zillow and daydream and save searches and save houses, and I just dream, you know. And so I was doing that this weekend, and I was just telling Nicola, I found a townhouse which was actually there were several that I was shocked because several of them had elevators. And I was like, an elevator in somebody's home? Like, that's just stupid. That's so wasteful. What? But then I started thinking about it, and being where I am, a lot of older people come down here to live as they age to retire. And I thought, you know what? It's actually really smart, because as they age, they want to stay in their home as long as possible. And this makes it easy for them to get up and down all of these stairs, because a townhome is multiple levels. And so I was like, okay, that's actually really smart. And there was something in that. It was like a switch flipped in my brain. And I was like, wait a minute, what if there is so much available to us that we don't even know to think about? We don't even think to question. Like, it's not even on our radar because it's not a thing until it is. So then I keep thinking about all of the possibilities, things that our hearts and souls might be craving that we don't even know are an available option yet. And I just keep getting, so the other thing I said was that it was like, now that I know that, I literally feel like a switch was flipped in my brain or in my being. And now I can't not know this now. So now I'm super excited, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, well, what else can I apply this to? What else is possible? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we're talking about, is what is possible to us? What is available to us? How do we even get started being with that, thinking about it, finding it, looking for it, calling it in? So maybe a little bit of manifesting stuff here too. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, vision board stuff.
Oh my God, I love vision boards.
As you were talking, I was thinking, you know, you talked about daydreaming and dreaming, and the number of times that I've said in the past, especially when I've been in Derbyshire, just say for a day or a few days, oh, I'd really love to live in Derbyshire, you know. And at the time, I would have been single, working in Manchester, living in my own house. And I just automatically assumed that it was something that I might consider doing when I retired, you know, so I'd be about, you know, 65 or 67 or whatever. But it would be something that I'd do later on. But so many times I said that, or if I was here on my own, I'd have just thought, gosh, you know, it's just amazing. I'd love to live here. And then the last time I said it was September 2019. And we just, Chris and I had been a couple of times to Derbyshire together, and we'd stayed at a place that we'd stayed at before. And it was the last day. And I remember saying the same thing then. And as we were driving home, Chris said, well, what's stopping us? Why don't we? And I was quite shocked, really. And for a couple of days, I was thinking, I can't do this. This is just crazy. I can't go and actually do something that I really want to do, and I can't go and live in Derbyshire. I was a bit freaked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd got a house, and I was doing my own thing at that point. I'd left my day job in the April of 2019. So there were no ties, really. And yeah, but it did shock me, and I had to really think about it for a couple of days, because it just seemed like I was going to be doing this massive thing. But then, you know, when we sort of started the ball rolling, put the house up for sale and started looking, I never thought that again. It was just, we were, the wheels were in motion, and we were just going through the motions, if you like, what we had to do next and get people in and get a solicitor. And but yeah, that all just started from me saying all the time, I'd really love to live in Derbyshire, and not thinking that I was manifesting it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, it wasn't something that I was thinking about all the time, or kind of I really, really wanted it, although I did really, really want it, but I thought it would be much later on. So I'd not put much focus on it, really. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah. Did it feel like a soul level, like a soul pull to you?
Not at the time, I don't think, but in hindsight, I kind of get a sense that this is where I'm meant to be. And I think some of the things that I'm meant to be doing haven't perhaps started yet. But I think there's a reason why we came here. You know, it's a very different life to where we were, which has suited me much better. But I do think that there is a bigger reason, but I'm not really sure what that is just yet.
Yeah. It'll reveal itself over time, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
What's so, and obviously at any point, we don't have to go into any other details, but me being curious, Bear, I'm curious, like you just said, that it's so different from where you are. What is it that's different? Like, I know you've got the cows and things here,
yeah,
which are a really big deal for you, and they feel like a way of connecting for you. But what else? What is there?
Well, it's just so much quieter. We live in a village with about 1,000 people, and it's a village where you could draw a ring around it. And then beyond that ring would be fields and fields and fields. You know, we used to live in a village, in inverted commas, but there was no, you couldn't delineate between the next village. Literally, you know, one house was in our village and the house adjacent to it was in the next village. You know, it had grown so much over time. You know, it used to, if you didn't set off at the right time, it could take you 2 hours to get into Manchester. You know, Manchester is, I think it's seen as the second city now in the UK. So it was always busy. The traffic was always busy. Loads and loads of people. You know, it's just so completely different. You know, I went out this morning, I had to run an errand, and I ended up driving down single track lanes, and I'm quite high up, so I could see the view of the valley. There were fields with cows and horses and sheep either side of me. I passed several tractors. There were farmers in fields, ploughing the fields. I was driving along thinking, this is such a different life. You know, I couldn't do what I'm doing now when I was in Chorley. You know, you might find a few country kind of roads, but this is what it is all around here. You know, finding yourself on these single tracks happens all the time. And, you know, if you drive on the roads, they're much quieter. You know, rush hour is 5 cars coming past.
Yeah.
You know, rush hour in Manchester is like thousands and thousands of cars. Yeah, yeah, it's just like a car park. And it's, the vibe is different. You know, the people that you meet, even complete strangers, are just much more friendly. Everybody talks to you. You know, they'll see Bamba and come over and ask about him. And, you know, we know lots of people in the village. Chris is giving the prizes at the annual horticultural show.
Oh,
you know, it's just so different to how life was. We were a kind of anonymous in Manchester, yeah. Whereas here, people know you, and there's a completely different connection, and, you know, people are more willing to help. And, you know, if there was something like where we are now, we're in a bit where there's just a few houses. The people around here, if they see someone doing something that they could do with a bit of a help, people come out and go and help, and everybody kind of pitches in. It's, we say it's a bit like going back to how life was when we were little in the 1960s, when everybody knew their neighbours and used to go to the butchers in your local town, yeah. And he'd know who you were, and you'd have a baker's, and obviously there are supermarkets, but there are all these little independents as well. It's just very different. It's a different way of life, but, you know, I really like it. I like the fact that there are fewer people, and it's just a much more friendly environment.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of community and a lot of connection, like real connection between people. I love that. But it's so funny, like, think about it. What if Chris had asked you that question and you hadn't been able to get through that immediate reaction you had?
Yeah.
Because I think that that's what, I think not all of us, I there are definitely people who think differently, but I think the way that you think, and I would have had a similar reaction, like, well, but I can't do that. We can't do that. What are you talking about? That's just crazy talk. But I mean, if you stop and think about it and break it down, it's like, well, why not?
Mm.
Why couldn't we really? I mean, even like, I've lived in Florida for 30 years this year, actually. And I've always said, always, I do not like Florida. I have always said I don't like Florida. I don't like the beach. I don't like the heat. I don't like the sand. I don't like the mess. I don't like the humidity. Like, I don't like Florida. I've always sworn that. But this weekend, one of the other things that I was doing in that process of looking at these homes, I found a townhouse that comes with, I thought it was a place for your kayak. It's actually a boat slip. So a boat slip is deeded along with the townhouse. So it's actually yours and you can put your boat there. But I was like, I mean, if you could put a boat there, you could certainly put a canoe or a kayak or something and just get, and you're right in the intercoastal. So you're not like actually out in the Gulf, you're in the intercoastal. So it's a little more protected. But I started thinking, cause I love kayaking. I love kayaking. I prefer to do spring fed, like river kayaking, but I'll do ocean kayaking. I was like, oh my God, I could be a person who just like after work goes kayaking for an hour. You know what I mean? Mm. And I get so excited. But then it's the same thing. I have that immediate, oh, well, we can't do that. We could never do that. And it's like, why? Mm. Why? There's no reason. Like, yes, I want to be here to let my son finish school, but that's only 2 more years. That's it. Mm. And we need to think about Lexi because she's a big dog, and a lot of places, a lot of, you know, these communities don't take dogs over a certain weight or size or whatever. So there are details to work out, sure. But that doesn't automatically mean that this can't work. But I think that that's what we fall into just by default. So many of us is like, oh, well, I can't do that. I can never do that. And I think part of it is the way we think of ourselves, like our self-identity. And so I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know. For myself, I'm playing with consciously choosing to shift that because who knows how long I'll be here? Who knows how long any of us have left?
Yeah, this is true.
Why would we not want to live and enjoy that?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's, I think I've mentioned him before, Julian Summerhayes. He's been talking quite philosophically in his Substack, and you know, he's been talking about making the most of your life and doing all these things that you really want to do, and not wasting your time doing the things you don't want to do. And it is so easy for us to kind of put off the things that we say we want to do because of, like we said before we started recording, all these prescribed ways of being in society and this path that we're supposed to go down. And, you know, like me saying, oh, well, I'll do it when I retire.
Yeah, exactly.
I might not live to retire. I might be dead before then. So, you know, that doesn't really work, does it? You've got to think about what you want to do now. Yeah. And yet still, we don't do the things that we really want to do. I mean, even now, you know, I still find myself prioritizing other stuff above the things that I really want to do. And
I know,
even though intellectually I know that the clock is ticking and you know, there is no tomorrow, there's only today. And it's like, what is wrong with us?
I mean, seriously, I think we're kind of in a way fighting an uphill battle because everything, unless you're a person who consciously chooses to put yourself in groups or with other people who think similarly to what we're talking about, unless you're consciously choosing to do that, I think most of us are surrounded by people who are just living according to our default on the stupid hamster wheel. And, you know, I get so worked up, not in a good way, about like when I hear people, so when I was working at, you know, my last job or any of the jobs before that, actually, people would talk about, oh my God, it's Monday. I got the Mondays. You know, and then as the week goes on, they start to pep up a little bit. And then by Friday, everybody's excited. And I'm going to go drinking tonight. I'm going to go to the game tonight. I'm going to barbecue this weekend. I'm going to go out on the boat this weekend. I'm going to do whatever. And it's like, why are you saving your life for the weekend? Why are you saving your energy, your best, everything, your being for these 2 days out of the week? And why are you spending that time getting shit-faced, drunk, doing drugs, doing whatever? Like, what are you running from? Why is your, oh my God, I just, my head wants to explode.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot more to it than that. And I've simplified it. And, you know, there's all different kinds of situations, but I'm just talking about the regular garden variety. Like, I'm going to go drink away my Friday night, Saturday night party and then slink back off to my crappy soul sucking job on Monday morning and do it all over again. It's like, why do we do that?
Mm. I think for me, there's been an element of needing permission.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of my youth and when I was at school, it was about I had to do my homework, had to go to school, had to work. I mean, I used to spend weekends doing homework, and the priority was academic. And I think some of the way that I am now is because of that. And, you know, when I got my first job, it was, you know, you've got to work hard, and that was the priority. And I think we've probably talked about this before, but I think you reach a point where it's become so ingrained that it's very hard to stop it. And even though you know that actually I'd be much better if I stopped and went for a walk or went kayaking or did something that I want to do, there's another part of you that won't allow you to do that because you've got to just carry on working, and your worth and your value comes from that in some way.
Yeah.
And I tie myself in knots with it sometimes. You know, it's like, why can't I just down tools and leave it and go and do something that I really want to do? You know, it might be a nice day, or there might be something on that I want to go to. But it's a real battle in my head to allow myself to do that. And I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
But I do know where it comes from. I don't know what to do about it. You know, it's like, I don't know how you address it.
I know for me, the way that my brain works, for some reason, I do best when if I set myself an alarm on my phone, or if I put I literally sometimes, like this Friday, I blocked off the entire day and just said, I'm taking a cave day Friday. And I've done that so many times in the past, especially within the past 2 years, where I will block that day off, and then the day will get here and I'll be like, well, I kind of really need to do this other thing. So maybe I'll just do that for a little bit, and then I'll do my cave day. And then before I know it, the day's gone and I'm pissed and I'm frustrated and I'm still feeling dried out and burned out and tired and whatever. But for some reason, I don't know if this is just something about the way my brain is wired or what I've been taught or how I've habit. I don't know. But if I put an alarm on my phone that literally will start dinging, it's loud. I don't know if that breaks whatever track I'm on, or brings me back somehow. I don't know if it's a sound, I don't know what it is, but for some reason that helps me to remember. It's almost like it breaks the focus or the concentration or the whatever it is, and is enough to give me, it's almost like it's enough to give me just that little bit of space so I can go, oh, actually I do want to get off the computer for the rest of the day and just, you know, collage, for example, or that's what I'm going to do this Friday. I planned a collage. So that's why it's on my head. Turn on my music, turn on my fan, get some good coffee, all my collage stuff out on the floor and just make a big old mess all day. But I feel like I need something that breaks that initial.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the habit of just sit at your desk, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever, you start the work. Maybe it's just something that breaks that. I don't know.
It's also we punish ourselves.
Mm.
You know, it's more acceptable to punish yourself and just keep working than to love yourself and do something nice. I think there's some element of that goes on as well.
Yeah. But
it's easier to treat ourselves badly than to be kind to ourselves.
It is, but then that's so weird because I know for myself, when I am filled up, if I do a full cave day, I am on fire for at least days, if not longer. I get so much done. And I don't remember when, were we just, oh, I think we were talking about time a little bit before we started recording. But it's one of those things that's like, if I am working from like a dried up, tired, low energy place, I struggle to get things done. My focus is not good. I'm not creative. I really struggle. But if I'm working from that place of like, I've just had a really killer cave day and now I'm like feeling super filled up and creative and stuff, I feel like I can get a week's worth of work done in like a day, and like an 8-hour day. It's like, how is that possible? But it is. I've done it. I've seen it happen. I know other people have talked about it. So I like, how do we break this cycle of being unkind to ourselves in this way? I mean, we already know what's possible. So how do we not break that cycle of being unkind and like being a taskmaster or a disciplinarian to ourselves?
I think it's a discipline. I think it, well, for me it is. I have to, you know, I have to do stuff like make lists and put stuff in my diary and kind of almost trick my mind to let me do it. But I think it is a discipline. I think it was Julia Davis, she's the Quiet Rebel. I think she was talking about how there's sort of comfort in doing the work and sitting at your desk and sitting and doing familiar stuff. It's like, it's dead easy for me to come in here and sit down at my computer and do some emails and look at my list and maybe write something or do somebody's website. But for some reason, it's a lot harder and more challenging to go and do something that is really nice. It's sort of, I don't know, we've got comfortable doing this, living this sort of work life. And the other stuff actually feels uncomfortable, which is completely bananas. But I think, you know, there's something in that.
Well, so that makes me think about, because one of the other things we had talked about was adding taste and texture to your life by having new or different experiences regularly. Mm-hmm. And you said the cows are that, or have been that, or can be that for you. And I know that I took 2 trips in a short time this past spring. And when I got back from those, I just felt like new neural connections are being built and my energy is different. And I've seen all these different things that I'd never seen before. And so I wonder if that's part of it, is intentionally doing like new and different things, almost so that becomes the habit, that becomes the way of being, more than this very regimented way of being, like you talked about. And I'm not knocking what you said. Like, I do the exact same thing. I have my habits. I have my routines. I like them. Thank you very much. I'm comfortable with them. They feel good to me. And it's also true that when I consciously invite different experiences or go looking for different experiences and have different things, my energy changes. Yeah. My creativity ramps up. I feel more alive and more full up. So I wonder if that's part of it, is choosing to do that in ways that are not even necessarily big ways. I'm not talking about like you have to go to a different country to do this. I'm talking about like go to a different grocery store than you might go to normally, like go to the next town over, you know, go for a walk in a different place that you've never seen before. Like, it can be anything.
Yeah, I think, well, it's like Julia Cameron in The Artist's Way, you know, going, having an artist date just going somewhere different. And it kind of gives you a different perspective and you're seeing different things. And when I had to take my car for service a few weeks ago, and I spent the day in Derby, which is, well, it's a city, it's got a cathedral, and I'd never been before. Well, we'd been to a tiny bit of it near the museum, but apart from that, I really didn't know any of it. So I had a wander around and went in the cathedral, and I found this really great letterpress company. And it was sort of down a little side street. It looked like nothing on the outside. But I followed them on Instagram, and I was really excited to be able to go. And I had a mooch around, and they sold stuff, and I was just going to buy a couple of little notebooks. And the guy started chatting to me, and he said, "Oh, you can look in the studio if you want." And he was like, "Whoa, this is amazing." And he's got all these boxes of type and letters and just all sorts of different machines and printing presses. And I said, "Can I take photographs?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, help yourself." So it was like, it was just amazing. And it was the highlight of my day, because we had a chat about, typewriters, because he'd got a typewriter, and I was telling him about California typewriter, and it was just, it was just really interesting to see so much different stuff and talk to somebody who kind of got what I was into as well. Yeah. And so, and I came away from that feeling, wow, that was just amazing. And I think then that feeds into other things that you do, because you've gone from doing, same old every day to, I've just gone and done something really exciting. And it elevates your thought processes and your creativity, and you're tapping into like a different part of yourself. It's like you've opened a little door somewhere, and some other stuff starting to come out that wouldn't have come out if you hadn't gone and opened that door.
I love that. I think that's true too. And it changes your energy.
Yeah.
I
mean,
your demeanor changes, your energy changes. Mm-hmm. And like we've talked about so many times before, personally and on the podcast, like when your energy changes, that has a knock-on effect to things going on around you.
Yeah.
And anything that you do while you're in that energy carries that energy with it, like has all kinds of different impacts. So now I'm sitting here wondering, like, how can I bring that into my life now? You know, like, what are easy ways that we can start to shift that and kind of choose, like we were just talking about, choosing the new experiences? Or like, I'm even thinking about if I was someone who lived near the water so that I could go kayaking or whatever, like, how would I be different? How would my home be different? And I'm literally thinking about, like, I looked up a, you're going to laugh at this. I looked up an essential oil mix that was called like sea breeze or something. And I looked at the ingredients, and it doesn't smell like sea breeze to me at all. So I'll probably come up with my own thing, but I'm going to create, a mix that I can use in my diffuser that I can make a roll on for scent. You know, that I can make one of these little, whatever these are called, these little nasal things that you can smell your essential oil scents. And like, I'm going to look for ways that I can bring that feeling into my life right now.
Yeah.
And just start changing the energy now.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a really great idea. I'd not thought about essential oils, because I've got some nice little bottles with a rollerball on top. I'd never thought of making up my own stuff.
Oh God. Yeah. It's so easy. And I mean, if you've got essential oils and like almond oil or something that you use as a base, it's like, it takes all of 5 minutes, and then
that's a really good idea.
Yeah. You can use that to consciously pull in or call in that energy, or bask in that energy. You know, I just think that idea is so fun. Like, what things can we do to be in whatever energy we're looking for, whether it's, you know, a different place or being more creative or feeling more fulfilled or feeling more free or like whatever it is, there are ways that we can bring that into our lives right now.
Yeah.
Even though we have this automatic reaction of, I can never do that. Okay, but maybe you can start to be the person who could do that. You know, maybe that starts like with your scent or with, I don't know, I could put pictures of kayaks around my room. You know what I mean?
Like yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
kinds of things. If I just get creative and think about whatever lights me up, whatever ignites that energy inside of me.
That's a really good idea. I like that. We forget as well, don't we, how much we can actually do.
Yes.
To create this kind of pathway to where we want to be.
Yes. You know,
you could sit wherever you're living and think, you know, like me, or I want to live in Derbyshire, but you've got nothing of Derbyshire around you.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you really love cows, but you've got nothing relating to cows.
Exactly.
Where it would be quite simple to get a really nice print of a cow or a picture and put it on your wall. I remember when we used to stay at Biggin Hall, they had their own mugs. They had different pictures of the hotel and they had a series of three mugs. So the first time we stayed, I think I got two mugs and I used to use them all the time. And, you know, that I would, well, I'd had croissant at breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I bought croissant at home so I could have
yes.
my drink with the mug and a croissant and I could pretend I was still at Biggin Hall.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And how fun was that? Like you just completely lit up.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Oh, just trying to think when we first went, maybe 2017. I think we went Christmas 2017.
About 5 years.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So this happened about 5 years ago and you just completely lit up while you're talking to me about it. Like it impacted you right now.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I know that actually having the experience and having done it, you had to have felt excited and just amazing. Mm. It had to have felt good.
It was like bringing a bit of Derbyshire
yes.
back to Lancashire.
Yes.
You know, and I remember sitting on the sofa. We had a kind of a big kitchen diner and I had this little corner that I called my nook and I had my sofa in there and a little table. And, you know, that's where I would sit first thing in the morning. And what they used to do, the breakfasts were fantastic. They used to do these sort of fruit compote with granola and yogurt in a little pot. So I got a little pot and started making my own. And,
exactly.
You know, it was, I mean, I didn't really think much of it at the time, but it was trying to continue that feeling. The
feeling, yes.
That yep. I had when we were there.
Yep. So do you do anything like that now?
No.
Any of the things that like bring you such joy?
No.
Isn't that funny? Like, isn't that funny?
Yeah, I know.
Why do we do that?
I did it for so long. And then, you know, for whatever reason, I kind of stopped doing it.
Yeah.
You know, life changed or whatever. But yeah, it's, and they're only small, simple things, you know, going right. to buy, you know, a packet of four croissants from Sainsbury's and making myself a cup of coffee in the morning in one of my Biggin Hall mugs is dead simple to do. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? How
it is.
How sad we make our lives.
I know. And that's the thing, because so many of these things are so easy. Like you just said, like, you keep talking about mugs and I have a small-ish obsession with kind of wabi-sabi type things and like handmade mugs or bowls and things specifically. I want them to be kind of wonky. I want them to look handmade. I want them to be like imperfect. I want them to look kind of rough and rustic a little bit. And so I keep watching, like I did this weekend too. I looked on Etsy because I'm constantly watching for that just right mug. And I will pay $40 for this mug. I do not care because I know that it's going to be one of a kind. It's not some mass produced something from, you know, Walmart or whatever. And because I know that it'll have that feeling that just brings me so much pleasure every time I use it. And I'm having so much fun hunting.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on a treasure hunt. And it's like, when I see the one, it'll be like the clouds part and the angels sing. And I will just know that that's the one. And that's the one that I'll get. And it'll bring this pleasure to my life. But it's like, and with that too, it's like, why don't I do that with other things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I do that with, like, I have my beeswax candles because I can't use regular candles because the scents make me sick, but I can use beeswax and I love them. They make me so happy. I do things like that. That's why all of my lights, my like fairy lights and my flameless candles, like the automatic ones, that's why I started doing that stuff. So it's like within the past several years, it's almost like I went through a phase of, oh, I should really, like, I can make my day-to-day life better. Like love, like, and it came about because at the end of Christmas, I got so sad taking all the lights down and putting them away. And I'm like, why don't I just get some freaking lights and keep them up all year? So I did. I just did. And now I do that all the time and I love it. But it's, again, it's like, why don't any of us do that with other things in our lives?
Yeah.
When it's a simple, small thing.
Mm.
We totally can.
Yeah.
So now you're going to be looking out for things that you can do that with, aren't you?
I know. And, you know, I do have, you know, I suppose, I mean, I love my mugs. I mean, this is one that I bought when we were still in Chorley, and it's got cameras on it. And I just loved it because it had cameras on it. You know, and I've got quite a few cups in the cupboard, and I'll use certain ones for different times of the day. Chris goes nuts with me because he says he knows when I'm at home because there's about six mugs that need washing and he just uses one. But, you know, sometimes it's like I need a certain one for what I have with my breakfast, and then I have my morning mug, and then I've got one that I'll use in the afternoon, and then in the evening, you know, I'll use a different then I've got my weekend mug, and, you know, it's just like you say, it's small pleasures,
yeah,
that don't cost anything, but they just make you feel a little bit uplifted.
Yeah, that's like, I'm that way with soap. Like, there's an olive oil soap that I use that's handmade that I just love.
Yeah.
And they don't even cost that much. And I get like a box of them and then they last me like freaking 6 months or something. And for so long, I didn't do that, even though I know that soap, like nice soap, is a thing for me.
Mm.
So then I found these and I was like, and every time I use them, I'm like, oh my God, that smells so good. I just love olive oil. I love all things like good olive oil. And it's good for your skin and it just feels good. And it's, like I said, it's so inexpensive.
Yeah.
Why did I not do this for myself? But now, like, every time I use it, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's everybody's assignment that's listening to this now, including
yeah,
ours.
Absolutely. Like,
look,
yeah.
Yeah. Look around your life. Just open your mind. Let yourself be creative. Think about what might be, or even one of the things that I do sometimes, like if I can't think of anything, because sometimes it's hard to just say, oh, well, what would make me more happy? Like, I don't know. That's a big question. But maybe there was something, you know, earlier in my life that I used to enjoy and I used to love. And for whatever reason, I just stopped. Maybe start there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think a lot of the things that we really enjoy doing are things that we did as a child.
Yeah.
And I think we get to a point where we forget about all of those. And I know a lot of people that I know, when they've hit their 50s, they've started doing things that they used to do as a child, like gardening with, you know, their dad or their mum. You know, I've always liked pens and fountain pens. I mean, those have been a constant. But yeah, thinking about all those sorts of things that you used to like doing, that you don't do anymore, and how can you introduce them back into your life again?
Absolutely. Speaking of which, I have a gardening class that I'm going to later today. I'm so excited.
Oh, lovely. That's cool.
So excited. And it's free. Like,
wow.
I got on the county's website and they have all of these free gardening classes, like all through the year. So I just signed up for like 6 of them through the end of the year.
Yeah.
I just have to get myself to the place and then that's it. I just signed up, like no cost, no nothing.
Yeah.
That's freaking amazing. And this is what I'm talking about, though. Back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like what resources and what things are out there and available to us that we don't even know. We don't even know because we've never thought about it, or we've maybe just assumed, or we've had that automatic reaction, oh, I could never do that, and just never looked into it. Like, just being open and getting curious. And now, I mean, for me, like, I have like 6 classes that I'm going to for free for the rest of the year for gardening for my specific area and my specific like soil issues and whatever. It's like, are you kidding me? That's a treasure.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I told you at the beginning, I get so worked up. I get so excited now because I do. I feel like a switch flipped in my brain this weekend and now I can't not know what I know experientially, which is not to say that I will always carry this level of excitement, because that's really not who I am. I'm not necessarily that like cheerleading type of person by nature, really. So, you know, I'm sure that will even out and go back to whatever my normal is, but the fact that this is available is exciting and feels hopeful and feels like, well, if that's possible, what else is possible? That's the big takeaway, I think, from this one for me. If that's possible, what else is possible for me?
Yeah.
For any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we limit ourselves so much, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I always find it frustrating when I see other people, and this is a sweeping statement, but you see other people doing what they do and they seem so free and easy with it that, you know, they can go off and have these fantastic adventures. I mean, they may have all sorts of struggles in other areas of their lives, but you kind of wonder, why can't I just do that and just, you know, take off and go and do X, Y, and Z? Yeah, but I think, like we said, it's kind of, you build those foundations and you start small and you start doing, you know, the things like, you know, the essential oils that remind you of the sea or something like that, and candles and the small things that just, I suppose, nurture you a little bit. And I think it's all that, it's all linked in with giving yourself permission to do these things and be kind to yourself.
Yeah. We can all take steps.
We can. Yeah.
I just think it's super fun. All right.
Okay.
That was good. Huh? That was kind of fun. Hopefully the people listening felt like that was fun.
Well, I think we've talked about a lot of things that are kind of practical as well. So hopefully someone will find it helpful to implement some of this in their own life as well.
Yeah. And maybe we can bring up something like this again in the future. Just, you know, like if one of us or both of us do start finding some of these little things that we can implement and then maybe check in later and see like what changed, you know?
Yeah.
Because I am 100% convinced, I'm going to tell you this right now. I am 100% convinced that when we get into the flow of this type of magic, something bigger steps in and like takes us along like a tide.
Yeah.
you know? And then that's when like the holy shit magic can start. And you look around and you're like, oh my God, is this actually my life?
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I'm convinced. So we'll see. We'll check back in later and see what happens.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed this episode and we will be back again soon.
Take care.
Bye for now.
Thanks so much for listening to Conversations Across the Pond with Angel and Nicola. I'm Angel, and we are thrilled that you're along for the ride with us. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast app so that you're notified each time we publish a new one. This is a passion project for both of us, so to find us online, please go to agentlelife.co.uk to find Nicola, and to rootedmystic.com to find Angel. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.